Hello, Tim Emerson of Kuan Yin Healing. We're here for our Q&A call. And it looks like it's just me and you today, Bruce.
Okay.
I had thought that this might be an easier time for folks when I set it up, but apparently it's not the case. But, oh, well. All right, so let me start by going over some things about where we've been here. So we started looking at the thought plane this week. And when we looked at the levels of being, the thought plane's right in the middle. So this is where we spend most of our time and awareness. And this is really, really tricky point. It's why it's important to really get into the physical and the emotional aspects first so that we can get a handle on that before going into the thought plane. As Buddha pointed out, everything flows from the mind. The trouble is that the ego has also set up shop there. So it's very, very difficult at first to see that the ego is going to say, everything flows from me. And conversely, everything happens to me. You know, it's not fair, everything, blah, blah, blah. So it's one of the reasons why, right at the outset, I really want to keep the focus on what's good, on gratitude, on what's working well, because it's really easy to get it sucked up into that whole ego game. So it's well worth repeatedly going over that foundation. One of the interesting things about being human is that we tend to focus, as soon as we start getting into material similar to this, we latch on to, okay, here are my demons, here are my trials, here are my tribulations, here are the things I have to wrestle with. And we very quickly make a list of all the problems. And then that's what we see. Look at all the problems, and this is where we put our thought, and I live in this world of problems, and that, in fact, is what we're manifesting. It's now, it's not that we want to, you know, not look at our problems, but it's extremely important to look at the bliss and the mercy and the joy, because if we don't, we'll go like, well, I'm working on my demons right now, so I don't have time to be happy. I don't have time to be blissful. And the bliss is a very much important part of working on the demons. So, you know, when Joseph Campbell pointed out, follow your bliss, it's important because, you know, battling demons is not a reason to get up in the morning. You know, it's not a reason to work through things. Even if we're very stubborn or combative, at a certain point, we just get tired of fighting and we give up. When we follow our bliss, we have something that's pulling us. And so then we don't have obstacles, we have hurdles. And hurdles are meant to be jumped over, okay? You know, it's hard to imagine a mother saving her children, right? Going, I don't know, the obstacles are just too big. No, it's like saving her children is the given. It's really easy to fall into this trap if we're not careful about that. You know, everything happens to me. Everything is somebody else's fault. Everything comes to us from outside. And then we're truly stuck. If you think back to any of the material that we've looked at before this course, even for many of you, you know, the 9 steps towards getting unstuck. Number one reason people are stuck is they're looking outside of themselves. It's the fault of other things around me. But it is human nature, so we don't want to beat ourselves up, but we do have to recognize this and to watch it happening, to catch it, because however much we construct the justifications, it will keep us stuck. We'll be there forever because we'll be continually recreating the problem, and continually recreating that situation. Nor do we want to get into blaming ourselves, okay? There's a tendency that, oh, man, I should have mastered all of this already, and that's just unrealistic. It's a work in progress. It always will be. So understanding that distinction, okay, to reemphasize, you know, thought is the creative force. Thought is the law of attraction. Thought is the power to transcend and transform. And the physical and the emotional things are reflections of this. If we fight that and get caught up into all the various yeah buts, we will continually recreate that problematic world. And it's not that, you know, geez, my thought isn't creating my world. It's that our thought is continually creating that problematic world. So it's a very dangerous and difficult cycle if we don't make that really, really crucial shift. The physical and the emotional things can get in our way, but what we can do about that is recognize that the physical and the emotional things are mirrors of what's going on in our thoughts. And we can use them as very valuable feedback in a way that our thoughts sometimes don't really help with if we're in that cycle. So it's really interesting. I will have to blog about this. I'll add that to my to-do list. But there's a great deal of science now that points out, as a result of studies, that if you believe something to be true, it is. And if you believe something not to be true, it isn't. And we can see this medically, you know, not simply in our circumstances. The film The Living Matrix features several of these medical studies where we can actually see and measure the results. So this is a very early field in Western science. It's a very ancient field in Eastern philosophy. So what do we do to begin with? First, a couple of things that we can use quickly while we're getting into these new habits. First of all, ask, which is the empowering thought? Which is the thought that's going to move me forward? Which is the thought that's going to keep me stuck? And however much we want to fight for the thought that keeps us stuck, understand this is extremely unhelpful. And however much we may want to question the empowering thought, recognize that embracing the empowering thought is going to move us forward in some way. To understand that our thoughts that our emotions are reflections of our thoughts. Good quality thoughts feel good. Poor quality thoughts don't feel good. And so checking into the quality of our thinking can help us show what we're creating in any given moment. But then we can make decisions to think better thoughts that are reflected in better emotions. We can look around at our physical world. And again, you know, I know this all too well personally. I've done it to myself for years and years and years. How easy it is to justify circumstances instead to look honestly at my physical world and ask myself objectively, how is this working out for me? And wherever it isn't, to realize I need to change the way I'm thinking and to accept the evidence in front of me, even when I don't want to. So I know this is a difficult shift to make, but it's a really, really crucial changing point. So that's the first main point. The second main point, we talked about just a second ago how difficult it is to separate this creative force from this ego force, because in our heads it looks so similar. And to understand this crucial point, we are not our thoughts, that we tend to identify ourselves as our thoughts. And this is completely ego at work. And the reason this is a problem is that it shuts off connection to higher vibration entirely, because it makes, in a very literal sense, it's making ourselves to be God. And when we make ourselves to be the divine, there is no higher power. There is no higher source. There is no calorie. There's no other way to do it unless we can do it perfectly. And so wherever we are, we'll stay stuck. Learning just even that small bit of separation, this is where meditation is oh so very important. We can still have all this static. We can still have all these confusing thoughts going on. But to be able to step back even just a tiny bit to recognize this is me looking at those thoughts, not these thoughts are me, is a really, really, really crucial distinction. And it's entirely the key to moving forward from this thought plane. It's also the key to peace, even in a troubling period, because we can let our thoughts go through all whatever gyrations they're going to go through, and we can step back and watch it almost objectively as our thoughts swirl and not be caught up in it. Again, a difficult shift at first, but an absolutely crucial one. Absolutely crucial one. So the idea that our thoughts are creative is ancient, even in Western philosophy. It actually goes back to Plato. Before we have a chair, we have the idea of a chair. You know, everything that comes is created in the mind before it gets created in reality. And the thing to understand is that at the moment it's created in thought, it does not exist in physical reality. People often get caught up into this. Well, yeah, you know, I can think it, but it's not real. Well, things start being real in physical reality by starting to be real in the mind. In the same way that we invent something, we think of something, it doesn't exist yet. But it has to exist in the mind first before it can exist in physical reality. And it's those beliefs in this, even though it, quote, doesn't exist, unquote, that make things true. A really good illustration of this is when Roger Bannister was trying to break the 4-minute mile. I mean, it was just believed impossible. And Roger Bannister believed he could do it. And so without that belief, all the things that happened to do that wouldn't happen. He had to believe first it was possible, even when everybody reasonable was pointing out that he was crazy, it was not possible. And it's not that he's superhuman. As soon as he did it, hundreds of other people did it once, because now they believed it was possible. So, thought is really that powerfully creative. And the common point of being getting hung up is, well, yeah, but it's not real. It doesn't exist yet. That's the entire point of thought being creative. If it exists yet, you're not being creative. If you're only thinking thoughts that exist right now, there is nothing creative about that. You're just recreating the same things that already exist. There's nothing new. Okay? This is also why it's important to take time. We're talking right about the beginning of this program of getting clear about what we want and what we love, because without that passionate attachment, without that desire to move forward, we're not going to have the kind of feedback on those powerful creative thoughts. It's that desire and that love that pulls us rather than pushing us, we were talking about just a minute ago, into creating those things that don't yet exist, forming those relationships that don't yet exist, coming up with those solutions that don't yet exist. Okay? And then conversely, negative thoughts are not mere worries. They actually create negative conditions in the same way that positive creation moves from concept to physical manifestation. Negative conditions are flagged by negative emotion, pointing out we're going in the wrong direction. So, since we commonly believe we're our thoughts, we tend to think incessantly. The voice in our head never shuts up. But these are the keys. The mind / ego will fight very, very hard to keep its place, but it's not really in control. It's the illusion of control. This is the benefit of a daily spiritual program that begins, because we begin to learn. At first accept and then truly learn and then finally deepen that we are not in control of the universe. And it opens up to so much more possibility and purposeful creation in harmony with the things that truly are. Once we get our own minds out of the way, we can start to see the possibilities. And the reason we can't see the possibilities when our own mind is in the way is that our own mind is seeing only its vision of things. And it is the very opposite of possibility. It's severe limitation. Okay? All right. So, a difficult thing to both be, you know, paying attention to what we want, at the same time being unattached to the way we feel it should happen, to be open, because we want to be open to a world of possibilities. And we've talked about things before, the difference between desire and attachment, so forth. The difference is one is positive and creative focus of attention and thought. The other is wasteful worry and speculation and dissipates energy. Okay. Having a why, a purpose, is really, really helpful for focus. When we have not just what we want to do, but a reason for doing it, a purpose for doing it, okay, that tends to drive us in very positive ways. There's something to be accomplished here. And then the how and the what can flow from the why. If we don't have that focus, you know, one of the things he asked in the very first week is not only what do you love, what do you want, but why do you want it? What does it do for you? And then what does that do for you? Because when we get clear on the why, we tend to think about, you know, well, how do I get what, you know, this and what do I want? And that tends to be very limiting. When we focus on the why, we want some. The how and the what will flow from this in a way that is much more imbalanced, much more balanced. Okay? You know, creation flows from the heart. The heart should be governing the mind, not the other way around. Okay? And in this module, we looked at several examples of this in the business world, in Eastern philosophy, and Western medicine. The importance of this direction, this purpose. Also this week, we looked at a reminder not to forget the good. Gratitude is not the final step. It is the first step. Okay? If it's not the first step, then we are still recreating the negative things. We are still clinging to the negative thoughts and behaviors, and we're going to still be creating those situations. It's really crucial to start with that point of gratitude, wherever we happen to be. And so when we're taking our personal inventory, to remember, you know, I got a few problems, but I got a lot of things going for me, and a lot of things are going really well, and that we work from this point of not of, you know, crashing away bad things as much as embracing the good things and building on those, focusing on those, embracing those. These are the things that make love and life, well, for that matter, and love worth living. You know, and it's only then that we can start to have meaningful conversations about abundance, about to understand how abundance is an energy, not a state of being. Okay. The problem that I see people having is that they jump to all of this too soon without laying the foundations. Fundamentals are crucial. As a professional musician, I can tell you that, you know, the certainly as a wind musician, that's what I know best. You know, there's breathing is crucial. Slow scales are crucial. Long tones, long, slow tones are crucial. Paying attention to the tiny, tiny little bits between notes. These kind of very basic points about learning to play a musical instrument are crucial. And so you'll see amateurs who learn it and move on to practice the hard stuff. You'll see professionals not even bothering to practice the hard stuff very much and focusing literally most of their time on breathing, long tones, very slow scales, getting all these little blips out. Because when, as a professional musician, I can tell you, when you truly master those professions, those fundamentals, the rest of it happens by magic. And I've heard many other examples. attributed Picasso, you know, it's like first, or if it's not Picasso, some other artist of that time period, you know, first learn all the rules and master them and then throw them away, you know, but they have to be mastered first. Or some famous basketball coach who's like started off with his professional team, you know, and so, okay, I want to see layups, and the players protest. Coach, I can do that shot in my sleep. He goes, great, I want to see 400 of them go. Understanding how crucial fundamentals are. I see people jumping right to things without putting in force the fundamentals. And I want to stress how important that is. Okay? So, people tend to think the problem with their dreams is that reality is tough. And it's not. Mostly they just give up too soon. And how do you know it's too soon? You haven't got there yet. You know, I mean, it sounds so cliche and simplistic, I suppose it is, but the only way to not achieve this is to quit. And in fact, to choose to quit. It's a choice to be unhappy. In that case, and the reason people do that is they're shaking on their why and their purpose. So it's crucial to define our definite purpose, okay? It is crucial to get clear about all this, to understand why you want this. Okay? It is crucial to understand what are you willing to give for this goal so that there's a proper energy exchange. Okay? So that you're not just wanting stuff, that you are making a significant contribution in exchange. It's crucial that you love yourself. You can't love what you're doing and the divine and others and so forth without loving yourself. To do that, we have to truly understand. It is crucial to detach from other people's thoughts. You know, like it or not, we tend to look for other people for approval. We're a social species. It also means that we accept a lot of thoughts that mean nothing more than that a lot of people think them. And this holds us back. Okay? Every major breakthrough is a break with. Okay? So, step back from those things. Also in this module, I pointed out that another way we make things tough is addictions. And here I'm not talking simply about things like, you know, alcohol or tobacco or whatever else, but all kinds of addictions. We have things that we do that don't necessarily make sense because they fulfill some void that has no real justification for this. You know, whether it's too much time on Facebook when we don't really value it or you know, whatever. So how do we make our way through addictions? Again, turn it to positive things. Okay, doing service work. How can I help other people? Stop trying to do everything by yourself. I see, you know, this, if there's a, you know, next to blaming other people, I think the second most common thing I do is everybody wants to do everything by themselves. That's, it's ridiculous. It's a major limitation. Replace old habits with new ones. It's very difficult to simply stop doing something. It is much easier to replace it with something else. And that's one of the reasons, one of the key habits we want to get into is gratitude and a daily spiritual program. instead of like, you know, I don't think negative thoughts. It's like, no, here are the positive thoughts I'm focusing on. Here's where I'm headed. That is much easier to do. Pay attention to the things we surround ourselves with. Avoid people, places, and things that are don't serve us, that are working against us. Okay? So one obvious example, you know, for me, you know, someone who definitely doesn't want to pick up alcohol again, I'm not going to hang out in bars. That would just be a silly thing for me to do. Okay? So avoiding the people, places, and things. Also, but again, not just avoiding, but looking towards who are the people, places, and things that represent where you're going. Surround yourselves with those people, even if you haven't quite got there yet. It will pull you in a positive direction. The rule of three is really useful to keep things in perspective. If I'm not feeling good, if I'm in pain, I'm not going to feel this bad in 3 hours. Things won't look this bad in 3 days. The situation will look very different in 3 weeks. Things will be completely different in 3 months. You can't even imagine where you'll be in 3 years. It's easy at the moment to go, but I don't think so because this is. But if you look back honestly, 3 days ago, 3 weeks ago, 3 months ago, 3 years ago, you realize the truth of it. Things change really, really quickly. Our moods are very cloud-like. And then in the moment, I can recognize that if I just relax. Okay? What helps me do that is a daily spiritual program. It is so, so crucial. Whatever works for you. Even if that's get up in the morning, ask for help, and go to bed at night and say thank you. The serenity prayer, if nothing else, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, the wisdom to know the difference. Take things one day at a time. Okay? You can't take off the whole universe at once. One day at a time, just for today. And understand that addiction comes from fear. There's nothing logical about it, okay? Our addictions, whatever they happen to be, serve purely emotional ends and not in logical, healthy ways. It's denial parading as a solution. And like all lies, it comes from fear. Truth has no need to lie, okay? So how do we do this? To counter fear, you choose love. And then we can really start to look honestly at ourselves and the confusion that we ourselves cause. To counter fear, choose love. Why do we balk at love? Why is happiness too great a price to pay? There's nothing logical about that either. Okay? To counter darkness, turn on the light. Rationalizing the dark is never going to make it light. We need to love ourselves, love our fellow humans, love our current situations, even if it seems there's not much to love. But love. Love our fears. Face our fears with love, and they will run. This is why willpower so often fails, okay? It's the wrong weapon and the wrong target. Okay? Face our fears with the help of whatever higher power we have, with the help of people, other, okay? And even if it's not easy, it will be real and it will get better, okay? And life will improve beyond your wildest dreams. And I can say this from personal experience. Another way we make things tough, time takes time. Much of the time we're just in a big frickin' hurry. It's like, well, what we want to know is why isn't this happening instantly? Well, try that with your garden. Put in a seed and then go, why isn't it happening already? You got to pay, there is, I'm trying to remember who said this so I can credit him. It might be John Narrowsfed, I'm not sure. Who said, there's not only a law of attraction, there's a law of, and I can't remember the word he used, but the point was that things take time. There's a law of a law of gestation. Okay. Right after intercourse, you don't have an instant baby. It takes time. I love Bert Goldman's illustration. Going to a restaurant that makes special soups entirely from scratch, any kind you want. You decide in the garden tomato. The chef gets right to work chopping up vegetables, processing the fresh tomatoes. And 20 minutes later, you complain, where's my soup? And the waiter explains the chef is working on it, but you can't see why this should take so long. So you go, never mind, just give me the French onion. So the waiter tells the chef. The chef takes the simmering tomato soup, throws it out, starts working on the French onion. We repeat the process over and over again until you get frustrated that you never get what you want. Okay? Need to take time. And we need to do our own due diligence. I've also shared this week's transcript Napoleon Hill story about R.U. Darby, who literally gave up on a gold vein when they were 3 feet away from gold. Sold it to a junk man who actually was interested not simply in getting rich, okay, but was truly interested in mining. And so because he was interested in mining, he talked to engineers, he took a look at it, who said, well, in this kind of a vein, the miner probably vein runs this way. And he knew right where to dig to make his fortune. And so he did really well in mining. Darby, who was looking for wealth, actually learned his lesson and found wealth, but in insurance, not in gold. So it's very clear, important to be clear about what we want. You know, I want to have a rich gold mine. No, you really don't in this case, right? Or Darby didn't. What he wanted was wealth, and he got this in a different way. So, you know, self-knowledge is a difficult thing. Emotions reveal our thoughts to ourselves and to others. And really look at this. The negative ones are warning signs that we're thinking counterproductive thoughts and we're creating undesirable outcomes. Positive emotions are reflections of positive thoughts working towards positive outcomes. When we feel bad, we have to change our thinking or we're going to get more of what we don't want. And then we use this as self-justification. People succeed when they have a passion for what they do. That's because they don't quit, you know. They just simply pursue it because they're having such a good time. It's grateful. Complaining, on the other hand, is simply wasted effort. And it literally perpetuates the negative situation by continually recreating it. And complaining does not reflect reality. Complaining prolongs it. It's really, really crucial to understand this. When I hear people talk about acceptance, they almost discuss it as if it's resignation. That's not acceptance. You know, acceptance is, it is what it is. You know, the world's full of joys, the world's full of sorrows, the world's full of pain, the world's full of pleasure. The world's a wonderful place, but it's a package deal. It just is what it is. Life is good. We have to overcome some old things. A good read I'd very highly recommend is Don Miguel de Ruiz's The Four Agreements. We tell children, you can be anything you want. And then we, as adults, we tell them, be realistic. You know, there is it's no wonder we have trouble. So dream big, work past fears. There are ways to do things. So we find people who have the skills and can give us what we want to do. Stop doing what doesn't work. We have a tendency to defend the status quo. And all I can say is, how's that working out for you? And when we recognize that it's not, we can become willing to change. Face fear, follow passion, but appreciate how much is truly right here in each moment. Okay? If nothing changes, nothing changes. To get somewhere else, we have to change not first the circumstances, but first the attitudes and perceptions. It starts in the mind and then reflects to the emotions and then into physical reality. That's simply how it is. And it takes patience. Time takes time. Okay? So from ideas down to physical relations, to physical manifestation. And understand, we tend to live in this world of ideas. To see those ideas down through to physical realization is a process. It's not something where we can just snap our fingers and accept magic. Okay? And finally, there's talking about the hero's journey and at the end of this, and the majesty of being, and that all these so-called struggles are part of this, part of the majesty of being, part of the whole point, part of what gets us towards what we're going. And at the end of this, you may have gotten it in the introduction to this, but 10 meditation tips for people who just can't meditate. And if you tried to meditate but you can't, because my thoughts just keep racing, you already are meditating. You're recognizing that your thoughts are going on. That makes you separate from them. Understanding that we need to slow down. You can't slap down the waves. Okay, that isn't going to make it still. We have to step back and let it settle. There are so many ways to benefit, but at the top of the list is just watching your breath. Just feel the expansion and contraction, just being aware of this. Practice after practice after practice stresses the importance of breathing. There's a reason. I can tell you as a professional musician, if you're facing something that's really difficult and you pay attention to your breath, there's something beyond the physical that happens. There's this connection. You ask any musician you want who's a professional musician, they will tell you there's a connection. You slip into something deeper. You have access to something you don't have access to in every day. It's more than just you, and it happens from breathing. So just watching your breath, that alone will calm, focus, center, okay? Even if that doesn't work, go for a walk. And on the walk, be present. There's a saying I love. Look to your feet. Is your head where your feet are? You know, and if you're thinking about all different things, just keep bringing it back. If you have trouble, just bring it back a lot. meditation in the morning, sorting through your day in the evening, but have a daily practice. Having a mastermind group of both the real kind, where you actually get people together so that you're accountable and you have the other people looking at you than just you, as well as making one up, who are, you know, half a dozen to a dozen people that you greatly admire, sit them around you in a circle and ask them what they think. This is may sound silly, you know, but they're not really real, but you'll be surprised what this will bring up for you. It's really totally powerful. The one thing I would say about meditation is make sure you sit up. Don't lie down. Lying down is for sleep. You won't get the same results. And have some sort of a positive daily mindset to keep you present in the now. When we're worried, we're projecting into the future. When we're depressed, we're clinging to the past. And it sounds simplistic, but it's literally the reality of things. So there's a lot in this week's module. And like I said up front, it's really crucial to have in place those things we talked about in week one, to really look at what's going on in my physical world. You know, I'm not going to achieve these wonderful results if I skip breakfast and lunch. At 4 o'clock, I'm going to be tired and irritable and getting lousy results. It's really important that I look to my emotional state. It's really important that I look to the quality of my thoughts and what I'm want to create, and not simply repeating where I am. So that's a pretty long summary, but a really kind of a crucial summary. And Deborah is asking, I like the rule 3. Do you have that written so I can do the easy copy and paste? And Deborah, it's in this week's module that went out Monday. Okay? In fact, I'll tell you if I can find it, I'll tell you where. I'm waiting from the web page, so I'm not sure if I can pull this up. Let me see if I can. Rule of three is on the starts on the bottom of page 18 of the transcript. Okay, bottom of 18, top of 19. Deborah, do you have any questions other than that? Because I know Bruce certainly does. Bruce, Deborah posted some responses to your questions to your post in the Quanya and Journey group.
I did see those.
Okay, I'm just looking at. Okay. All right. Trying to see which one's first so I can do these in order. So, Bruce, I'm trying to think of how to address what you posted, because a lot of this is something that you're personally going through right now, and I don't want to highlight what's a kind of a personal matter for you in public. So I'm looking at some of the principles here, and a lot of the key principles we just reviewed, a lot of what we just said, so totally applies to this. But I do have some quick responses from there. So if you're listening to this recording, quickly, what Bruce writes is, about a personal experience, but that's going on right now for him at work in his relationship. That's why I don't exactly want to share this publicly. But I will say, Bruce, that my first reaction in looking at what you wrote is that you've, and I think you'll see this if you later read what you've written carefully, and I'll pull out some things here, is that you write this as if this came out of left field and you don't understand why it isn't working. And then you say in your parenthetical notes how you totally get it. So on the one hand, you're like, okay, this team came to me at work and told me they didn't want to do this anymore, and they gave me these reasons, and I was totally floored with the confrontation. At the same time, you also, you know, in your notes, recognize that everything here is actually true and not a surprise to you.
No, that you're reading it wrong if you read that. There was one of those that I agreed with, but there, most of the stuff was like, okay, I don't know where this is coming from.
Okay, so I'm just looking here at what you wrote. You know, a thought is a creative force. Why does so much random, unwanted stuff show up? Well, the quick answer to that, just objectively, is that very few people think and focus coherent ways. Usually we're all over the map, and so we get results that are all over the map. You know, you talked about this is a great place for the last few weeks, and thinking very positively. I showed up for work after vacation, confronted, you know, a crew doesn't want me there because I'm basically lazy. And then you say, I have lazy days. You know, I mean, and then you feel you're one of the biggest.
Hang on a second.
Where I'm going here is because I'm not going to get into this situation because I have no way of knowing what's true, and I wouldn't want to even if I did know what was going on. But people tend to look at the negative things. We do it in ourselves. We do it in others. Okay? So if I have a lazy day, that sticks in people's minds. You know, and that becomes a perception. And it's not fair, but it happens to us all the time. You know, if I have one bad day in a class, and the rest of the term is great, there are going to be students who bitch about that day till the end of time. You know, it's what people do. They find problems. You know, they said you were rigid, and you say probably a fair amount of truth to that one.
Yeah, that's the one I agreed with.
Okay. Now this one, you know, this is how human reactions work. Unpleasant to be around. And then you say, I was getting this from a guy who's one of the ones most of the people don't need to work with. I think that answers the question right there, you know. Unhappy people see themselves surrounded by unhappy people. Now, on all of this, this is some people you haven't known very long. Is that correct?
No, it's people I've known for quite a while.
Okay, because this says I was in a great place these last few weeks, so... Apparently a great place.
I've been Yeah. I've been on vacation for 4 weeks. I came
okay.
back excited.
Gotcha.
So I've been working with, you know, the stuff that we've been doing in class. And so I didn't have anything negative on my radar. I wasn't processing anything negative. I was just in good space. And all of a sudden I come back and all this crap shows up. And so I'm wondering if thoughts are creative. I wasn't creating any of that. Where did it come from?
Well, again, I thought I had a good relationship with the members of the crew I was interested in joining. Okay? So, obviously, this wasn't true.
Okay, but it's still...
Okay, we're going to go in circles around this, and I'm not going to get sucked into this one. If you and I want to, you know, we can hash this out privately, if you wish. But there's a, because we're totally dealing here with perceptions rather than objective reality. Okay, there's their perception, there's your perception, and as somebody coming from the outside, and I, with all due respect, for I can understand how this feels really shitty. This is everybody's different perspectives, and that their perspectives are different is in no way shocks me, right? I mean, that happens all the time. If we were to pick a person at random, there's going to be something, some similar story to this within recent weeks about differing perspectives. That's actually what's going on.
Address the generality, not the specific. If I'm in a good space, I'm thinking good thoughts, I'm thinking positive thoughts. Why am I suddenly flooded with a bunch of garbage?
Again,
no, I gave the. Okay, go ahead.
Again, your point is this, okay? Attraction, creative force, and attraction. So first of all, like attracts like, right? The two, clearly this is not a good match.
But it was coming from somebody that wasn't even part of
it. And
wait,
it doesn't even matter who it comes from. It's clearly not a good match.
Okay. Apparently they thought so. I didn't think it was not a good match. I thought it was a good match, but
right.
Apparently they thought otherwise.
Right. Okay. And the fact that you thought and they didn't means it's not a good match. It doesn't mean that it's your fault or their fault or anybody else's fault. It's clearly not a good match.
Again, I don't care about the specifics. I care about the generality. I just gave that for illustrative purposes.
Well, in that case, because when I'm looking at this, the conversation, Bruce, you're looking at, like, why isn't this working, you know, creatively and attractively? It's working perfectly. I mean, it's actually spot on. And so something that's not a good match, for whatever the reason, you know, could entirely be their fault, is vibrating out. Now, the question here is, what happens now? Okay? So the question here is, what am I creating? So am I headed somewhere I want to go, or am I reacting to something? Am I creating something, you know, where is this an obstacle to what I'm creating, or was this just a side thing to what I was creating on the side? And the answer to either one of those is the question to what's next, so that this is simply an episode and not, oh my God, how did this all fall apart? You know, the whole issue of communication, this is a whole different course. You know, it takes, you know, most people don't like confrontation. There are a number of reasons why this could have come down the way it is, and I don't know any of the people or the personalities involved. And again, it doesn't matter. Okay? The very fact that people came up with, you know, look, we need to talk, you know, that in a way is a reason for appreciation. People aren't very comfortable with doing that usually. You've recently found out a couple of things. One of the things you found out is that you have this interest in noetics, so there's a direction, at least the start of a direction. Okay? Do you want to be doing what you're currently doing? And if you do, why? And getting clear about that. Is there miscommunication that needs to be cleared up? In which case, go clear it up. But there's a whole bunch of questions to this that have nothing to do with thought as creative force whatsoever, you know, other than the fact that there's a bunch of cloudy thinking and it created a bunch of cloudy results all the way around. Additionally, I don't create the entire world. You know, I don't create the motivations of other people. I can focus on creating the kind of world I want to live in, and I can get closer and closer to that. But that doesn't mean that I control other people. Okay? So this would be, you know, this no, it's not really like, but just to stretch this to make a point, this would be like saying, well, why did I have Bruce create hard thoughts? That's not what I wanted. It's because I'm not Bruce, and I quite appropriately don't get to decide how things go for Bruce. And then you say the same experience in a different situation. In this case, a romantic one. Open to reconciliation, open to moving on. Sent a genuine message of gratitude for all the things. Felt in a good space, went on a dating site that I liked, found a number of people I was compatible with, and so far everybody's either not responded or responded negatively. This is the farthest thing from my mind. I was feeling open and positive, and all this is, you know, it's like, and now I'm like, remember, time takes time. This only just happened. Instead of looking at, you know, what are the positive things here? Okay, I have work, I have a job, I have, you know, I got some open and honest communication. I didn't like hearing all of it, but I got some open and honest feedback. I can at least think about, if it's not true, why is it people's perception that it's true? As well as understanding, you know, when I go through experiences like, and on a dating site where, you know, at your gig where you're getting shot down, it's like, this is excellent information. One book I would recommend very highly is, if I can find the example, it's by Clement Stone. It's on positive thinking. What's the, and I'm normally not, I'm sorry, I'm too far away. Can you hear me? I was, a book I would recommend highly by Clement Stone on positive thinking. And I'm normally not automatically there. Success Through a Positive Mental Attitude by Napoleon Hill and Clement Stone. This is a wonderful book. And one of the wonderful things he says in this book is instead of, you know, well, why did these things happen? To take that thing that happens and goes, wow, this is great because this means, and embracing the opportunity for where it goes next, this is the way to move forward. Now, you can agree or disagree, and that's fine. You have that right. But this speaks to what we're talking about at the earlier thing about asking yourself, which is the empowering thought? If like, well, this doesn't work, these things should have happened to me, I'm stuck here, you know, this thing doesn't work, you're stuck there. You will forever be there. There is no way out of that. If instead you go, well, even if I can't see it, this is clearly not a very empowering thought, I think this is Pollyanna bullshit, but I can totally see how it's saying, okay, well, this is great because it's at least an empowering thought that moves me forward, you're going to see progress. And that's the answer. One keeps you where you are, the other moves you forward. Time takes time. part of the way that we learn what we don't want is by learning what we want is by learning what we don't want. I know that certainly governs a lot of my decisions. The other question you asked in the group was about, I had shared a story about a pathological liar who actually, his lies actually ended up turning true for him. And you say manifesting, great, for me lying not so much. I have no quarrel with that. Totally true. The story isn't to say the benefit of lying. The story is to point out that things are in fact created first in the mind. Now, this is a piece of this guy's story, right? Creating from a point of being dishonest is going to also create manifestations, okay? And it's going to create a very inauthentic life. And people do this. They're good at their jobs. They work hard, and they're not really behind it. And they feel empty because they have created very inauthentic lives because they're not being honest with themselves. They are creating what they want to create, and they're creating the empty feeling. It takes a whole different level of courage and honesty to step forward. A final answer to your question, which may not sit with you, but nonetheless, we just did your energy alignment earlier, and one of the common things that happens from that are disruptions, where things that are inappropriate start falling apart, and new doors start opening, and you find yourself a couple months later in something that's different that you wouldn't have imagined, as the old ways fall apart, because we have zipped past the usual mental creations into some place that is truer to who we truly are and truer to what we really love. And while it's a painful process at times, it's a very effective one. And this is still the beginning of that process for you. And it may very well be at the end of January, you look back and go, one of the best things that ever happened to me. You point out your final word on the thing, like another problem with this is I don't believe it. Well, there you go.
Well, if I'm telling myself that something is not real, it's not real.
Yep.
So how do I say something that's a positive manifestation in a way for me, I've always said it, okay, this is what I'm working towards. People say, no, you guys got to be present. Well, it isn't present.
Yeah, I mean, it's like saying, I want the laws of the universe to work differently than they do. What do I do to make them work differently? Good luck with that. I don't want my garden to take months. I want it to grow really, really fast. Well, sorry. So you look into other options, It's like, well, what else would be possible if it's something you're creative, want to create? I need these vegetables, in April. All right, well, you can import them from somewhere else. You could do container gardens inside. There might be ways around this. But as long as you want to sit and say, well, this just isn't working and that's the end of it, well, then that's true. And it's no different than, you have children, right? A child sits in the corner and just can keep saying no. There isn't any way out of there until that happens, until that stops.
I'm asking you to, how do I be authentic? And that I'm, get out of that.
Okay.
Show me the way.
Right. I feel like I'm going in circles here.
Me too.
That's what we spent the first 45 minutes talking about. So what are the things that are really good about this situation? What new opportunities does this open?
If you're asking me a question, I'm still trying to say, how do I be authentic? It was the same question I posted. I listened to the first 45 minutes of this. How do I be authentic with myself and still feel like I'm being honest?
I'm answering your question. Authentically, right? What's really good about what happened? What new possibilities does this open for you?
It reinforces that I want to be doing something different. But
okay, wait. You want to be authentic, right? All the yeah buts are the list of problems, even if you're right. So just get down, what are the things that are authentically true for you? Not the authentic things that, well, this is authentically bullshit. What are the things that are authentically true? So one of them is, I forgot how you just phrase it. Okay. Reinforcing
this. Something different.
Okay.
I don't
so that's
know how because I don't have a get. I gotta have an income still.
Okay. You jump right back into, well, here are the problems with that. You're going to shoot down everything as quick as it comes up. So one way is really understanding. I want to be something different. Okay. I could add to that. I'm hearing an understanding of your understanding there's some pain about where you are. This is not an arbitrary. It'd be nice to do something different. This is like, I would like to get out of what I'm doing. And that's something that's an important realization, right? What else is good about this?
It means I'm not going to bid that crew because I don't want to be somewhere where I'm a disruptive influence.
Okay. So the whole question of should I try to stay here, sounds like you've largely answered that, and that's good information. Okay. What else?
When I say here, I want to leave this field entirely. I work as a firefighter, and there's multiple crews. I was looking at going to a different crew, but I want to be doing something different. And we talked about something that, there's areas I have interest in. I don't know how to make those a career yet, and so I'm working on how do I bring those into a place where I can leave here.
Okay. So there's a couple of things. You have an area that you want. Before you were frustrated because you didn't have that, right?
Well, I always knew I was interested in athletics, I still don't have a real clear idea where I want to go. That's still very muddy for me.
Okay, so a month ago, we were having a circular conversation about, no, I don't know what I want, no, I don't know what I want, no, I don't know what I want, okay? And then we came to noetics, right? Like, well, I always knew, which raises the question, why were we having this circular conversation before? But you have job options. You're not on the street. You have crews you can go to. You can start finding out about noetics. These are all positive things. Okay? There are things like dating sites. They're flawed, but they exist. This is a positive thing. You're taking a direction. That's a positive thing. You got some feedback. You don't like the source and you don't like what you heard, and I totally get that. But you got some things to think about, and these will affect and help you move forward, for wherever direction you go. Now, these are positive things. These are all starting places. These are all next step moves.
And my next step would be to identify what specifically was I doing that wouldn't do that or that would cause that perception. And I got, Well, no, I don't know, or I wouldn't have asked.
Right, so you're going to have to figure this out on your own. You can do that. You're a smart guy. You have people like me in your life who are willing to go through this with you and to stay in here and hang in here. The point is this, you keep asking, how do I do this? And it's like, well, this is how. You come up with the things that are authentically moving forward places. And you embrace those. Instead of embracing the stay where I am things. And that's how you move forward.
At the risk of sounding circular, which I know frustrates you, I feel like I'm getting little micrometer movements. Like, okay, I want to start moving forward. I don't want to be moving so slow that it's imperceptible. It's frustrating because it feels like that's where I've been. So it's like, it's kind of like one of my big gripes with religion is like, well, they hold the carrot out of, you need to just keep exercising faith. You need to keep just exercising faith. You need to just keep exercising faith. Well, when's the answer actually going to show up?
No, I disagree with it entirely. Every little step handed to you, you know, about how to move forward, you want to point instead to the mountain of negative things. It's like, well, how do I move forward? Well, here are forward moving steps. Well, I get that, but those are too slow. So let me go back to my mountain of things that are getting me nowhere. And this is my whole problem with everything, right? And this is holding you back. And you got to take the steps that you actually have. As far as I want to move forward, okay, what exactly do you want to do with Noetics and what would be the steps? And what's the schedule for taking them? I'd like to have my whole business planned out in a 5-year plan so that I can lay all, work comfortably in tiny sections as I go through each week. And I'd like to have all that done today. Well, that isn't going to happen. It's too much. I'm going to have to take smaller steps. And so how do I take smaller steps? A couple of things. I learn to be grateful for where I am. That makes life a whole lot easier. I learn to look at what am I doing? What are today's steps? What's a step I can take today? Because I'm going to feel good about that. And that's going to give me forward momentum. It's like that whole trip to California. You know, the car is packed. I'm still in the driveway, but I'm feeling it because I'm going to California. You know? If I'm in the driveway going, but there are so many things, it could be bad weather, I could get flat tires, what if I get into an accident? Well, then I'm going to feel crappy. And it's totally created by my thoughts that are creating that reality that I'm experiencing, that emotional reality. Taking time in a daily practice to focus on the gratitude, to focus on the spiritual practice. This is the path to authenticity. This is getting out of that swirling mental pattern and setting all that aside and just looking at what is. Okay? Just what is. This is what opens the door to higher guidance. Not in a way that says just have faith and trust, but in a way that says, let me tune in and see what's going on. Because if we insist that, no, things are just like what they are. Everybody's wrong. Okay. You're right. That's a stopping point. And you're right. No religion, no program, no book, no nobody is going to get you past that if that's where you're going to camp. So anyway, time takes time. Focus on the positive things. Focus on the things that are authentic for you. Focus on the things that are empowering steps forward. and all the things that are shut down steps, that are shut down thoughts. You know, if nothing else, recognize that these are the things that are keeping you where you are. They're not helpful. Replace them with thoughts that move you forward, even if just, well, what can I do about it now? And take that step. Small steps matter. I live in the middle of a beautiful forest that didn't exist when I moved here. You know, I planted these trees. Small steps matter. And they make a difference faster than you think. You know, Deborah is posting a bunch of stuff here. It's an interesting thought. Your absence for several weeks is key. They're likely thinking of the guy that left. You're coming back a new person. Do the work you did while you were gone. It may need to get to know the new you, and that this is a permanent change. It's an interesting thought. And I totally agree, Deborah, about new possibilities. She says, I truly enjoyed this week's module, that we are creating our reality with our thoughts, even if we're unaware, it's unconscious. Led me to a new meditation to release every thought or belief I had about my purpose and destiny, health, finances, and abundance. Lots of things along these lines. It was really driven home when my college son called Thursday before Thanksgiving and his house was on fire. Long story short, he lost everything, not his first setback. And I've observed similar patterns my own. We have more, quote, bad stuff, unquote, happen in our family than most. And it finally occurred to me that over a decade ago, in the midst of a crisis, I prayed to God to intervene and, quote, save my family, unquote. As anyone who has ever prayed for patience knows, the world responds with traffic jams and long lines at the grocery stores. In a moment of clarity, I realized that I had, at least in part, created a situation for my family and son, created an intervention where they would need to be saved. Oh my God, how do you undo something you thought 10 plus years ago? Hence the meditation, release on my thoughts and beliefs, now start filling in the blanks. Okay, Deborah, I think the important thing here is you focus on where you're going, okay? I see people that, you know, they'll have a thought like, oh no, cancel. And I think it's important to understand that we're not the universe in that sense. But a better way to think about this might be to keep in terms of coherence. By getting clear about what we want and getting clear about where we want to go, we can make our thoughts and our actions more coherent and less scattered so that we're not sending out conflicting things. You know, the relationship thing came up. It's very common for people to go, I want this relationship, and miss that what we're missing, what we're actually doing is going, I don't have a relationship, instead of enjoying the process and moving forward. In that respect. So, I don't know, I don't have a lot to add here other than starting to repeat. This module is long for kind of good reason. And I would stress again the importance of looking at the physical reality around us and taking it seriously. As, you know, whether I understand it or not, I created this. And to look at what's going on with me. To look truly at our emotions. And if we're feeling negative emotions going, I'm thinking unproductive thoughts. And to start to change to more productive thoughts. You turn to gratitude, you turn to daily spiritual program, you turn to what you love, to what you want to create. And you know you're doing a good job of it when you feel better. And when you're feeling crappy, you know that you're doing a poor job of it. And to understand that pain loop, that the kind of thoughts that you're thinking are reflected in the emotions that you're thinking. And then when we get that, then we can start to really learn to focus our thoughts. And to make that separation between ego, everything is happening to me, total ego, versus stepping back from our thoughts as a creative process. Everything is happening to me is the ego involved. It's not the creative process. And so what we're going to do in that case is continually create problems for ourselves to justify our own ego belief, because the ego wants to be in control, and it shuts us off from other possibilities. It is scary to let go and say, I'm going to be open to all kinds of possibilities. It means stepping away, that we're no longer in control. But it's also where we get all the power. It's frightening at first as a musician to let go and to just breathe and something else just takes over. But it's also wicked awesome cool. And it's the key to moving forward as we start moving into the higher plane energies next. Bruce, I wish you well. And I hope maybe so with some time to sit with this, you can, because I know this is kind of recent and a little raw, and so that's understandable. To have that focus there. But we'll see where you are moving forward, and I hope things start sorting themselves out for you soon. And any last minute thoughts, anybody, before we call it a day here? Latressa, do you have any questions?
I just got in at the very end, unfortunately.
Okay.
But I agree with what you said, and sometimes it just takes time to get into that place where, you know, where we surrender to being a victim, because we've all been there, and to really just move forward and think about all the good things, all the gratitude. You know, I just continue to make a list of all the things for which I'm thankful, and that seems to really help. I know that it helps my clients as well, as to just continue to be thankful for the small things and for the big things. So that makes it, I don't know, it really, like with me and with my clients, it really propels them forward, and for them to really embrace all the things for which they're grateful and all the things that are coming up for them that help them see things more clearly and to give them more hope and gratitude. So I think the biggest thing that we can do is really give thanks and make a list of all the things for which we're grateful and how we want to move forward in our lives as well.
It's interesting, too, Latressa, that you joined us, because before you joined us, Bruce was talking about some negative things that happened at work. And I'm remembering when you and I first met that you were doing a great job and things weren't fair at work, and you got called in, and it was things were in very negative fast, and now you're in a totally different place.
Yeah.
So it's like reminds me of that process.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, you know, it seems like sometimes you just take things for granted and focus on the negative, but that doesn't serve us at all. And so the more that we can really embrace all the things for which we're grateful, you know, like here we had, I think, 4 inches or 5 inches of sleet and then probably another 7 or 8 inches of snow on top. And it's kind of crazy, but I mean, it's beautiful to look outside and to see the beautiful snow and where it's not been touched at all, and how grateful it is to be able to see that and to experience that and watch these huge flakes the size of half dollars coming down. I mean, it's really pretty. And, you know, it's a lot of times, you know, we just have to look within, or at least I do. And so if there's something that doesn't feel right, you know, within me, then I go back to my gratitude list and write all the things for which I'm thankful. And then I can come out of it. If there's something that bothers me, then I come out of it really, really quickly. And so that's a good thing. And just being positive and focusing on what's good. And I mean, that really gives us more hope and the ability to move forward, because we're not just focused on lack, but we're focused on abundance and all that is. And I think that, you know, that sounds like hokey pokey or whatever, I'm sure, to some people, but truly, I mean, that is a way to really turn things around in our lives and to make them, that we are the facilitator of our life. We are the ones that create what it is we want. And so we can either focus on being sad or angry or, you know, not knowing what to do, or we can focus on all the things for which we're grateful. And there's so many of those things that for us out there to really be grateful and really know that we're here for a reason, we're here for a purpose, and it's a really beautiful thing to really just embrace in that energy and to just keep looking forward at all of the gifts that we really do have. And, you know, I mean, there are a lot of things that have gone on in my life and that are going on right now that are pretty big things. And normally that would make me feel sad or upset or thinking, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? But really, I just give thanks for what it is and know that, you know, it's learning things for me to learn from and things for me to help others learn from, and to just really be grateful, you know, that we have what we have and have the relationships that we have. And, you know, I had this friend called me and she said, I have $10,000 I want to give you and I don't want you to ever give it back. Now imagine that.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty amazing. And, you know, I said, thank you so much. I love you so much. That is the most beautiful thing that's ever been offered. And, you know, but right now I think I'm good. And but I appreciate it. And she goes, well, it's here for you. I'm not going to spend it. So if you ever need it, it's yours. So that is a friend that's been we've been friends for about 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty, I mean, that's pretty amazing. I mean, you know, no one in my family has offered offered anything, but just to have a friend being willing to offer $10,000. I mean, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there are miracles that happen just like that. And there are miracles that can happen for each and every one of us if we just focus on what it is that we desire and focus on the energy of love and of abundance and of joy. Sometimes we just have to get out of our own way and order to make things be the beautiful things that they could be. So that's pretty much what I have to say with that.
Well, thank you for sharing that. And, for what it's worth, Bruce, there's the reflection from somebody who was in a very similar situation to yours half a year ago.
Yeah.
Thank you
for that. Well, that's awesome. And I hope that you, Bruce, I hope that, that you will start seeing, and I don't know, because I just got in on this call just a few minutes ago, but just to really focus on the positive and have your gratitude journal and just continue to write it and continue to move forward with it, because I promise that if you will do that, that it will change your life in an amazing way, and will bring more abundance. And I totally believe that. So I hope that helps.
And Deborah writes, rule 3 in action. Good point.
It's good. Yeah, so it's all good. And it doesn't feel good sometimes. It felt a little scary, just briefly, but it's all good. So we are here for a reason, and, it's something that will, help others, hopefully whatever it is that I'm experiencing or will be experiencing or continue to experience for a little while anyway. Hopefully it will help others to really see what it's like and to see how they can totally shift their vibration and make it be something that will help not just themselves but others that come along their path and come along their way, because I guarantee you we're not the only ones.
Yeah.
And there are lots of people that are having a really, really rough time. And so the more that we can be thankful and the more we can focus on hope and peace and joy and prosperity and kindness and love, that's really all we need. So I wish everyone the best.
Yeah, Latressa, we should package that for you, and that's a beautiful little Christmas holiday message right there.
Yeah, it's a hard time for so many people. And in Northwest Arkansas, there are a lot of wealthy people because of Walmart and different places like that. But, it's really just, instead of just focusing on ourselves, focusing on what we can give to others, and whether that's just a smile, like you're standing in the grocery line and there's a woman with all these kids that she's about ready to blow a gasket, and just smiling at them or winking at them and just helping them totally change, the energy of where they are. And that makes a huge difference. And so it's the small things that we can do that can really make vast changes in the world and, of course, with others. So I'm not saying it's always easy, although, smiling and being happy and being grateful, I mean, that's all a really good thing to be and a good thing to share with others. And especially, I think there are more suicides around Christmas time than any other time. So it's really focusing on those people, like if you're going to Walmart or watching the Salvation Army person and giving to them. But it's really being aware and cognitive of where people are. And, for me, I can feel all this energy of all these people that I come across, whether at a store, at a gas station, or whatever. And so I just send them when I see them and I feel their energy. I just send love to them. Just it's almost like from my heart to theirs, and just sending that love and the gratitude and just peace and hope and knowing that they can shift and they can make a movement and really enrich their lives.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Well, so it's all good, even though it doesn't feel good and it doesn't look good and, you know.
Yeah.
But in the end, it is good and everything happens for a reason. And, you know, I never thought I would be in the place that I am now ever, because I've always been pretty, I don't know, I've always had it together. And, you know, when some changes that took place recently, you know, with family situations. So it just, you know, I was supposed to get a huge inheritance, and that never happened. And so it's all good. And I'm excited to see the changes that come along the way and to see how I can help others to experience the joy that comes from it instead of the anger, the sadness, or the, you know, not knowing what to do next, but just taking charge and knowing that there is something better coming and holding on to that, because that really is true.
Well, it's so nice to hear you in such a positive place, especially relative to the difficult places from where things started. So this is just wonderful, and I'm so glad that you joined us.
Well, thank you. I'm glad, too. I'm glad that I saw the call and was able to get in on it. So thank you for all that you do. You're an amazing light, and you give so much to so many, and I have such gratitude for you. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you. I feel the same way about each and every one of you.
Well, thank you. So blessings to everyone. Are you going to have another call before Christmas?
Yes, we'll have a call next Sunday and the Sunday after.
Wonder.
And then we'll pick up. And then we'll pick up again in January for the first three Sundays in January.
Wonderful. Well, I will do my best to be on the call.
Very awesome.
Okay. That is great. Well, I feel honored to be with all of you guys, and thank you for letting me come in at the last minute.
My pleasure.
Have a great weekend, or
okay.
Have a great week, I guess. It's what, Sat Sunday? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to keep up on the days anymore.
I know.
Thank you all.
All right, and you too. And also, thanks for joining us, Deborah and Bruce, and anyone else listening to the recording. And we'll talk to you soon.
All right,
take care,
thank
everyone.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.